remarkable that here we are again. So what shall we say? What do we do? How do we feel? If we're feeling a certain way, what do I do with those feelings? And that's what I want to talk about today. What do I do with those feelings? How do I bring my feelings into control of the Word of God, of the Holy Spirit? So let's go over these feelings. If you're feeling hate, hatred, depending on what it is, I'll begin by saying concerning hate that it is biblical to hate what's happening. However, there are guidelines and limits to hatred. In one sense, it is biblical to hate what's happening. I want to add to that. However, or what has happened, however, there are guidelines and limits. Let's look at Romans, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the 9th verse. I want to talk about where to put these feelings, what to do with them, because they won't just magically disappear. Look at Romans, the 12th chapter, and the 9th verse. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So there's the word, abhor. Abhor means to look with loathing and horror on that which is ungodly, unrighteous, and wicked. So there's your command. It's an imperative, and it's active. We are to hate, abhor, loathe, look at with horror on that which is ungodly, unrighteous, and wicked. Amen. What happened to all three, in particular, Mr. Floyd and Mr. Aubrey. His last name, I think, is Aubrey. Okay. Is to look at it with this attitude. But however, the events that have followed in protest of that is also to be looked at with loathing and horror. You don't overcome evil with evil. You don't combat sin with sin. That's not the way to approach this. The Word of God definitely condemns that. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What's happening in the streets in over 30 cities throughout this country is not good. And so our hatred and our loathing and our horror on that which is ungodly and wicked, it must be extended to the response to this death of Mr. Floyd. We must cling to that which is good. I mean, hold on with a quote-unquote death grip to that which is good. It's okay to be angry, but we better be very, 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 very careful that our hatred, rather, does not turn into ungodly anger. I'm going to say that again. It's fine to be angry. Just read it. Abhor what is evil. Look at it with loathing and horror on that which is ungodly and wicked and sinful. But we better be careful that our hatred does not turn into ungodly anger. We must consciously, deliberately, we were just teaching this on Wednesday, and intentionally and purposefully submit and surrender our hatred to the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. We must do that. Let Him control it and keep it in the right frame and keep it in the vein of the Word of God. Second thing, for those of us who are hatred, you may be feeling angry. The ones I talked to, they were angry. It is biblical to be angry concerning these events. However, let me warn you again, there are warnings and limits, if you will. There are parameters and guidelines to your anger. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. So hatred, fine, yield it to the Holy Spirit, allow him to keep it biblically, lest it cross over into sin, and we don't want to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and yet do not sin. See, there's the be angry, but then there's a parameter. There's the limit. There's a guideline. And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. All right, let's talk about that. Be angry. Again, that's a present active imperative. Present means that it's ongoing. Active means that you're the one to do it. Imperative means that it's a command. So in the Greek, it would read, be constantly angry with an, I love this by Kenneth Vies, an abiding, settled attitude of righteous indignation. Be constantly angry with an abiding, settled attitude, what? Of with righteous indignation against sin and sinful things. That's scriptural. You are to be constantly angry with righteous indignation against sin and sinful things. Amen. But then it gives a guideline. And yet do not sin or stop sinning. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, anger, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. This second word, anger, is anger that is mixed with three things in particular: irritation, exasperation, and embitterment. That's where the Word of God calls that anger. They prohibit that kind of anger. I want to go over that. Anger that is mixed with irritation, exasperation, and embitterment. We're feeling all of those. Mm-hmm. Irritation means you're annoyed, frustrated, impatient, aggravated, and disturbed.
Yes.
That would fit irritation. Mm-hmm. Annoyed, frustrated, impatient, aggravated, and disturbed. That's just irritation. Exasperation means that you're bothered, enraged, furious, incensed, irritated, and provoked to a high degree. Yes. Read it again. Yes. Exasperation means that you're bothered, enraged, furious, incensed, irritated, provoked to a high degree. When you are in that state of being irritated and exasperated, that's the anger that the Bible prohibits. You've moved from righteous indignation into an anger that is very dangerous. The third word is embitterment. Bitter, cynical, pessimistic, disparaging, sour. I'm talking about disparaging means that you're critical and fault-finding. You're sour, you're disagreeable and unpleasant. This anger that is mixed with irritation, exasperation, and embitterment is an anger that needs to be monitored mightily. Doesn't it repeat some of those? Okay. Amen. Even the best, someone wrote, even the best motivated anger can sour. And we are therefore to put it aside at the end of the day. Even the best anger can sour. That's why I said, don't let the sun go down. Someone wrote, taken to bed, if this anger is taken to bed, it is likely to give the devil an opportunity to use it for his purpose. Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful. Someone else wrote, if anger is prolonged, one may begin to seek vengeance and therefore violate the principle taught in Romans 12, 17. If anger is prolonged, if it's taken to bed, one may begin to seek vengeance and give the devil an opportunity to use it for his purpose. So righteous anger can morph into sinful anger. That's why we must yield our emotions, we talked about that on Wednesday, to the control of the Holy Spirit. We must yield that. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, look at verse 17. Again, if anger is prolonged, one may begin to seek vengeance, which is what folks want, and therefore violate the principle that is taught here in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Never, Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Got it, mother? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. That's the word, yes. Now, whenever, again, that is a command. That's imperative. Whenever there's a command, that's the will of God. That's the will of God. It can be carried out by the people of God. Now, I'm talking to the people of God. Right. That's who can carry this out. Never pay back evil for anyone. Evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is God's business, not ours. And so we need to be careful that our anger doesn't morph into seeking vengeance. We want the Lord, who is the righteous judge, yes, to do that. That's his business. Mm-hmm. This anger that is prohibited by the Lord God, this anger that is selfish, undisciplined, vindictive, is sinful and have no place. I love how the commentary says, and have no place, even temporarily, in the Christian life. Amen. Anger that is selfish, undisciplined, and vindictive is sinful and has no place, even temporarily, in the Christian life. Amen. That's an ouch. Yeah. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Even temporarily. So I've sinned over this moment, because even temporarily, for just a moment. Amen. And I repented of it too. Such anger is forbidden in Scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6 and 4. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your power. He's gracious. We need his word. We need it.
Yeah.
Have to have it. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 4. Father, do not, and King James says, do not provoke your children. I'm reading out the New American Standard. It has, Father, do not provoke to anger your children. The phrase provoke to anger, or the word provoke in the Greek, is one word. That is the verb form of the anger that we just read about in Ephesians 4:26. He said, don't do that. Don't do your children that way. That's prohibited. And I know that's a side journey by parents. They do provoke their children where they're irritated, they're frustrated, they're embittered with their parents. They become that way with their parents, and because parents are provoking them to anger. And that is an anger that is not to, that is forbidden by Scripture. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 27, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back there. He said to be angry. Verse 26, Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry and do not sin. Neither let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not take that anger to bed. Don't let it linger. Because more than likely, it'll morph into something that's sinful. And then here's the reason why you don't let it linger. You don't go to bed. You don't take it to bed. Verse 27. And do not give the devil an opportunity. That's why. Because the longer you hold on to anger, even righteous anger, if you don't keep it in check, the longer you hold on to it, you may be giving the devil an opportunity. And he says, stop giving in the Greek. That's stop giving the devil an opportunity. Opportunity is power. Stop giving him the power. Stop giving him an occasion for acting out through your anger. That's misplaced. That's seeking vengeance. That's morphed into bitterness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. And so this anger is forbidden, and we are to keep it in check lest we give the devil an opportunity to act. An opportunity. You give him power. Give him an occasion to come in and act and just really destroy things because we are not keeping our anger in line with the power of the Holy Spirit. We really need to yield that to the power of the Holy Spirit. I kind of want to read some of those notes from Wednesday when we talk about this. Remember that we ask the question. We're to yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield and submit to and bow down to the Holy Spirit, His power, His might. Yield. Let Him dominate. Let Him control. Let Him influence. Let Him lead us. And we asked the question on Wednesday, what aspects of our lives, what parts or facets of our lives are we to yield to the Holy Spirit, to the control and influence of the Holy Spirit? And the answer was one, we are to yield our volition, which is our choice, which is our decisions, which is our will, our desires, and our preferences. That's apropos for this morning. Are we yielding our decision that we're making, the choices that we're making, our desires? We must yield them to the control and influence of the Holy Spirit, because emotions are riding high, which are causing decisions, which are causing choices and desires that are not necessarily godly. And we must make an active, purposeful, intentional decision to yield, Lord God. Take over my will and my decisions and my choices and my desires and my preferences right now in Jesus' name. Secondly, we are to yield our rationale. Boy, do we need that. The way we're thinking right now. How we're reasoning through things right now. Lord, I yield to you my faculty of reasoning right now. Because it's filled with bitterness and hatred and anger and revenge and frustration. And I need to yield how I'm reasoning to you. I yield my mind to you right now. My intellect, my purpose, my intentions and motives. I need you to take control of them. I yield, meaning I yield means to relinquish control of and release it into the control of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Thirdly, oh my Lord and my God, we need to yield to Him our emotional aspects of our lives. Take over, Jesus, my emotions, Holy Spirit. My feelings, take over them in the name of Jesus. My expressions, how I'm expressing what I'm feeling. My responses to what's going on. My passions and my excitement. I ask that you, Holy Ghost, take over and control and influence and dominate them right now in Jesus' name. That's what we need to do. We yield them to you. We yield our inner man to you. Period. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that what you'll do with these three things, my will, my reason, and my emotions, what you'll do with those three things is that you will bring them into obedience and conformity to the Word of God. That's what we need.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bring my will into obedience to the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Bring my reasoning into obedience and conformity to the will of God. Bring my emotions, hallelujah, into the obedience and conformity to the Word of God. And that's what you want to do with your hatred. That's what you want to do with your anger. You want them to be brought under the control and influence and domination of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not angry. Maybe you're not filled with hate. Maybe you just feel hopeless. I had someone call and let me know there. And I just feel like I don't have any hope. Well, I got some good news and bad news if you're hopeless. The good news is there's a cure for that. The bad news is if you're feeling hopeless, that means you have transferred your hope from Christ Jesus, our Lord, to the things of this world. That's harsh, maybe a little bit, but stay with me. If you're feeling hopeless, there's a real possibility that you transferred your hope from the Lord Jesus to this life. As I told my daughter yesterday, that our hope is not in this life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why I'm saying if you're feeling hopeless, then maybe unbeknownst to you, you've transferred it from the Lord to this life. We want to bring it, take it back to the Lord.
Amen.
Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not even in this world ever getting better, because it's not going to get better. Now that's harsh, but I need to just let you know so you don't put your hope in that.
Amen.
Matter of fact, just right quick, let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've read it several, many a times. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I don't think you want me to lie to you as your pastor, and you don't want me to sugarcoat things and soften things as your pastor. I don't want you to have hope in something that the Word of God has said just the opposite. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So that your hope can stay in the right place.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 rather, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Is that not happening right now?
Sure.
Realize this. In the Greek, be constantly knowing this. You need to know this constantly. Listen to that Greek tense. This is something that's present, ongoing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Yeah, 3. Did I say 3?
You said 2 and 3.
My bad. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You got it, Papa?
Yes, sir.
All right. You said, but understand this, realize this, be knowing this constantly, that in the last days, difficult times will come. They'll set in perilous times of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. Verse 2. For men will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of self. They'll be fond of themselves. They will be lovers of themselves and utterly self-centered. Lovers of money. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient, and so forth. Let's go down to verse 13. Verse 13. Here's why it won't get any better. Verse 13. But evil men, wicked men, and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. They will proceed from bad to worse. It's not going to get any better. Deceiving and being deceived. Look at his instruction for us in verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So he's saying for you, you stay locked in the word. I know he's talking to Timothy and his, you know, the things he learned. But I challenge you, children of God, brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, you continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced, knowing from whom you've learned them. That's what I challenge you with. No, they're not going to get any better. And I don't want to paint any false, weak picture concerning that. So I told my daughter that our hope is not in this life. Our hope is not to be in this world ever getting any better. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. That's where you plant your hope and keep your hope there. Glory be to God. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, him being raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father on high. That's where our hope is. Amen. And that does not change. Glory be to God. Our hope is in our great King who is coming again. And when he arrives, he's going to right every wrong. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
That's where our hope is.
Amen.
Glory be to God. You don't have to be hopeless. If you're feeling hopeless, let's get our hope. If you're born again, let's put our hope back to where it is. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I want to read that again. Our hope is in our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again. And when he arrives, he's going to right every wrong. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? Which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. Who's our hope? Christ in us. The hope of what is glory? The hope of our future. The hope of an eternal life of glorification. That's where our hope is. Not in this life, not in this world. So don't feel hopeless. If you are hopeless and you are saved, put your hope back where it belongs, on the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, Father. Excuse me. First Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. What? And of Christ Jesus, who is our hopes. I know it sounds a little rough in the beginning, but that's why I said that. If you're feeling hopeless, then you've transferred your hope from Christ Jesus, who is your hope, to this world. See, our hope is to be in him and to remain in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Read it again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. To Timothy, my true, genuine child in the faith. Grace, a sanctifying grace. Mercy and peace, tranquilizing peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, do we need to hear that right now. Grace unto you, a sanctifying grace to you. Mercy and a tranquilizing peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. We need that, Father, right now.
Amen.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, the Lord is working. I'm so glad. So glad. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, thank you, Father, has caused us to be born again. Don't forget that. Born again to a living hope. I think that's where the name of the church comes from. Yes, ma'am. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. That's why you gotta get your hope back to the right spot. So that you can greatly rejoice, even though now, doesn't this fit us right now? This is fitting us right now. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. This is what's happening now. So that the proof, but this is why it's happening, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Keep your hope there so you can rejoice in this. Your faith is being tested. And though you have not seen him, you love him. So although you can't see him in the midst of all this, verse 8, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, even through all of this, word of life, and those who know the Lord, continue to believe in him, even though you can't see him, and you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That'll be your result. Continue to fight through this. Continue to hold on to Jesus as your hope. And then continue to believe in him, though you can't see him in these difficult times. He said, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining, verse 9, as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul, the completed salvation of your soul. What is the completed salvation? Glorification. There is salvation that's looked at as when you're saved, commonly referred to as justification. But then salvation is also a process. There is justification, there is sanctification, and then there's glorification. And all together, that process is also salvation. And so this, you can rejoice at the outcome of your faith, your completed, finished salvation of your souls. So we got hope. Keep our hope in the right place.
Amen.
No wonder, since our hope is in Christ Jesus and it's a living hope, that it is a hope that doesn't fail. Romans chapter 5. No wonder it's a hope that doesn't fail, because our hope is in Christ Jesus, who does not fail.
Amen.
Our hope is in Christ Jesus, who is alive. The one that's a living hope. It's a living hope and a hope that won't disappoint and will not fail. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Okay. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation. All right, listen to that. No, it's not easy. That's what you want to do right now. Rejoice in our tribulation. But just rejoice for rejoicing's sake? No. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. So how are you going to respond to this difficult time? And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. See? And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this leads to strengthening our hope, which is in Christ Jesus. He is our hope. Amen. So maybe you're not feeling hate. Maybe you're not feeling anger. Maybe you're not feeling hopeless. Maybe you're feeling fearful. Maybe you're feeling afraid. That was also expressed to me by one of the people who called. They were feeling afraid, which is that is understandable. That is quite understandable. Thank God for the word even on that. Look at the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Thank you, Father. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Maybe you're feeling fearful. If you are a black person, you're feeling some type of way, some uncertainty, and you're a Christian, let me encourage you from the Word of God. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Look at the first verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take your time. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, in the first verse. Mm-hmm. Do not let your heart be troubled. So you're fearful. Here's a word from the Lord Jesus Christ to you personally. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So he told us what to do with that. With your fear, turn up your faith, trust, belief, reliance upon, being dependent upon God and his son Jesus.
Amen.
So that's the cure. Turn up your trust. Lord God, you're still here. Remind yourself of his promises. Remind yourself of what he has promised you as his child.
Amen.
Believe, continue to believe through your fear and watch it dissipate. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Very familiar passage of scripture. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place or the shelter of the Almighty will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm reading from New American Standard. Okay, let me wait. Yes, Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty will abide in the shadow of the Most High. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, that's what you need to say to yourself. Lord God, during this time, I'm afraid, but I want to say to you, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress, my impenetrable fortress, and you are my God, and in you I trust. That's what you need to tell yourself. Look at verse 5. He says, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. Say, Lord, I'm not afraid of the arrow by night afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. Why? Because verse 1, I dwell in the shelter of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I say, you're my refuge. You're my fortress. You are my God. And in you, I do trust. That's your prayer. That's your prayer. Another cure for fear is recognizing peace. A cure for fear is peace. Look at John, the 14th chapter, the gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Look at verse 27. The gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Look at verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Sis, let me know if I'm going too fast. Okay. Verse 27, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Who's talking? Jesus. Take comfort if you are fearful. In fact, you can take comfort in if you're angry, if you have hatred, if you are fearful, if you are hopeless, you can take comfort in all of it. Peace I leave with you. My peace, my personal peace, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You see that? He's saying, don't let it be afraid because you have my peace. I've given you my peace. As a result of that, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Rest in my peace. A peace that I have personally given to you. And it is a peace that the world cannot give you. Father God, I just pray that your people will receive your peace right now and that we will not let our hearts be troubled and we will not be fearful. Some more encouragement for those who are fearful. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Some more encouragement and uplifting and edification for those who are fearful. Thank you, Lord God, for your word today like never before.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 6. Psalm 118, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. In verse 6, the Lord is on my side. New American, the Lord is for me. Remember that. You're feeling afraid and feeling some type of way. And again, this can fit in if you're feeling hopeless, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling hatred. The Lord is for me. He is on your side.
Amen.
I will not fear. What can man do unto me? When the Lord is on my side, I'm not afraid. What can man do unto me? I got God on my side. The Lord is on my side. Adonai is on my side. I will not fear. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The 13th chapter, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself personally has said, I will never desert you, leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Listen to that. I will never desert or leave you, nor never ever will I do that or forsake you. Verse 6. So that as a result of what we just read in verse 5, him never leaving or forsaking us, we can confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So if you're fearful, trust in God, trust in the Lord. Say to yourself, I abide in the secret place and under his shadow. He's my refuge. You're my fortress. You're my God. In you I trust. You're on my side. You are for me. You'll never leave me. You'll never desert me. You are my helper. You gave me your peace. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid. Well, maybe you're not filled with hate. Maybe you're not angry. Maybe you're not hopeless. And maybe you're not fearful. Maybe you are like, this, how this has hit me. You're just kind of sad. Maybe you're sad. What about that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3, the greatest cure for sadness is comfort. Is that a fair statement? We want to be comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of what? All comfort. Thank you, Jesus. Who comforts us in our affliction. Thank you, Lord. See, you can take comfort from that. When you're sad, realize that he's there. Who's there? Your Father. Who is he? The God of all comfort. And what does he do with that comfort? He comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So you're comforted by God. Take that comfort and comfort someone else. That's like Sister Rolanda prayed this morning in a prayer. Stay off of social media. That's feeding into your fleshly desires. Yeah. There's no comfort there. So how in the world can you obey this and be comforted and then take that comfort that God has comforted you and comfort somebody else? You can't do it. You're stuck on social media. If you're stuck on that which is devil rule and demonic and sensual. And earthly. Verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. See, we go through a lot. And as black people here in America, even with a system that's geared to disadvantage black people, You go through a lot. But he says here, he said, you know, your afflictions are many. He said, so your comfort is in abundance. So that's what we got to remember. Our comfort is in abundance. Thank you, Lord, for an abundance of comfort.
Amen.
Verse 6. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Talking about suffering. We're talking about comfort in the middle of abundance of suffering. It can happen. And not just Apostle Paul. Amen. Verse 7. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Amen. 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 That's powerful. That's powerful. As you share in our sufferings. And I know there's not such thing as a black Christian, a white Christian, and so forth. But as our white Christian brothers and sisters, as they share in our suffering, we ask the Lord that they be empathetic in our suffering. Thank you, Lord, that they're sharing our comfort. Mm-hmm. If you're sad, another cure for sadness is joy. Look at John, the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. So not only can you receive comfort for your sadness, you can receive joy while you're in the midst of your sadness. John, the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verse 11. You have it, Mother? Okay. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy, whose joy? My joy, Christ Jesus' joy, may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Thank you, Jesus. Whose joy do we possess? Christ Jesus' joy. And as we're reminded, he's on his way to the cross and he takes the time to talk to his disciples about joy. You mean to tell me he would take the time to do that knowing he's about to be tortured, beaten, and murdered, all unjustly? And he wants to take the time to talk about joy? That's how important his joy getting to us was at that time.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Another cure for sadness is peace. Turn over one chapter to the 16th chapter of John. One chapter over, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you. Remember, he said, I'm right. He said in the other verse, these things I've spoken to you. These things I've spoken to you. That's the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Who's saying that? The Prince of Peace. Isn't that one of his names? The Prince of Peace. This is the peace that's been given to us by the Prince of Peace. Read it again. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. That's good news. Hold on to that in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Let's turn as we close to Romans chapter 10, chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. So I'm going to end with a question. How are we to respond to this? How are we to act as children of God? How are we to respond? How are we to act as children of God? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. So the family of God, the body of Christ, this is a response to how we're to act. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 now. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. We need that right now. I'm calling on the body of Christ to just really dig in and lean in deeply into one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. This is a time of extra prayer, if you will. More communication with God, more fellowship with Him. Contributing to the needs of the saints. What do we need right now? Prayer, comfort, the word, joy, peace. Not more anger and hatred and just rehearsing certain things. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Is that your attitude? Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, saints of God, but overcome evil with good. One more. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, look at verse, we'll start with verse 1. Hold on 1 second. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you and beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, how are we to think? We looked at our responsibilities and how are we to act, how are we to think? Do not be conformed to this world. Again, stop masquerading in the ways of this world, its mannerisms, its speech and expressions and their styles. That's what we don't want to do right now or ever. Stop sounding like the world. Stop thinking like the world. Stop conforming to the things of this world, but be transformed. Change your outward expression to that which comes from your regenerated inner man. Let that representation show by the renewing of your mind. A mind renewal is really, 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 really needed at this time. a renovation of the mind, a complete change for the better of your mental processes. So we're to think in line with the word. We're to act in line with the word and not conform to the things of this world. We're to constantly, consistently, and continually and habitually yield our mind to the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with a letter that I received yesterday. It's a true blessing. The young lady's name is Trisha Pickett. She is a white young lady, friend of Brooke and Joel. She sent this letter to me yesterday, and I would like to close with this. Hello, I hope this email finds you well. I wanted to reach out and let you know I'm thinking of your family. Spoke to Brooke too. Just wanted to say how much I value you and your family. She said, you're so needed in this world, this country, this state. Thank you for who you are and the way you live your life. I also wanted to take a moment to thank you for speaking with me a few years ago about racism, racial inequalities that exist. That was Sunday, June 10th, 2016. That was after the week of the two killings of Philander Castile and Sterling, Alton Sterling. She called me and wanted to, I need to have a backdrop to that. She called me and asked, I need you to help me to just understand so that I can better be informed and be more sympathetic and empathetic. And so she said, I want to take a moment to thank you for speaking with me a few years ago about racial inequalities that exist. That was so incredibly kind and gracious of you. You did not have to do that, but you did. I'm so grateful it made me think critically about this issue, the systemic racism that permeates our nation and my own white privilege. I want you to know I am continuing to educate myself, to listen and think critically. I am challenging people in my white circles. This is one of the most profound statements you left me with when we spoke. To speak up in circles that are predominantly white and listen when I'm engaging with black brothers and sisters. I have a lot more learning to do, but I just wanted to say I see you all. I am blessed to know the Harris family. Thank you again. I am eternally indebted to you. To that I say, and I told this to her, I said, if white Christians, quote unquote white Christians, across the body of Christ throughout the nation had her attitude, you would end racial hatred in the body of Christ like that. It's the desire to want to know. I applaud this young lady in a mighty way, and I thank God for her. I thank God that He is continuing to do a work in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of that because it's His church. Mm-hmm. He built this church, and this church will prevail. Mm-hmm. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's why we need to dig in and lean into one another and encourage and uplift one another and honor one another. Glory be to God and not be distracted. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father God, I see my papa shedding tears back then. That's touching my heart. I thank you for your love. At a time like this, I thank you. I really do. I thank you for the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts, the hearts of your people. We can love one another. We really can. We just need to use the love that's at our disposal and do so. Help us to lead the nation and the world in showing love. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, that by this shall all men know that you're my disciple because you love one another. Help us to love one another, Father. Regardless of color, red, brown, yellow, black, or white. You all are precious in your sight. We thank you. We yield our hearts to you. Have your way right now in the body of Christ through every single ethnicity and people group and culture right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way. Show up and show out. Help us to get rid of this toxic sin of racial hatred that is a cancer on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we do if we obey your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.